The Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Mark. It was 2 years before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said,
"Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people."
While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar, a very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger,
"Why was this ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor."
And they scolded her, but Jesus said,
"Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him,
"Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them,
"Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there."
So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they had taken their places and were seated, were eating, Jesus said, "Truly,
truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another,
"Surely not I."
And he said to them,
"It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born."
While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said,
"Take, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. And he said to them,
"This is my body of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Even though all become deserters, I will not."
And Jesus said to him,
"Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times.
But he said vehemently,
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you."
And all of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated and said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake."
And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said,
Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Let not what I want, but you want.
He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter,
Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake for 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words, and once more he came and found them sleeping. For their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them,
Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.
Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard.
So when he came, he went up to him at once and said,
Rabbi!
And kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them,
Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled.
And all of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying,
We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made of hands.
But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus,
Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?
But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him,
Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?
And Jesus said,
I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
Why do we need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?
All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him,
Prophesy!
The guards also took him over and beat him. And while Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said,
You were also with Jesus, that man from Nazareth.
But he denied it, saying,
I do not know or understand what you are talking about.
And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed, and the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders,
This man is one of them.
But again he denied it. And then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter,
Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean.
But he began to curse, and he swore an oath.
I do not know this man you are talking about.
At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him,
Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times.
And he broke down and wept. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held the consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, handed him over to Pilate, and Pilate asked him,
Are you the king of the Jews?
And he answered them,
You say so.
Then the chief priest accused him of many things, and Pilate asked him again,
Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you.
But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his usual custom. Then he answered them,
Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. And Pilate spoke to them again.
Then what do you wish for me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?
And they shouted back,
Crucify him!
Pilate asked them,
Why? What evil has he done?
But they shouted all the more,
Crucify him!
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. And then the soldiers led him into the courtyard in the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him.
Hail, King of the Jews!
They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby, who was coming in from the country, to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, The King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from that cross.
In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying,
He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe.
Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,
which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
Listen, he is calling for Elijah.
And someone ran, filled the sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down."
Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood before him, facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was God's son."
There were also women looking on from the distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the younger of the Joseph and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come upon him with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he was already dead, and summoned the centurion. He asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth and, taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid.
Tom, Mac, and Catherine, thank you. Thank you so much. I was sitting here realizing that I think that's the first time in 30 years I've actually just been able to sit and listen and not actually have one of the reading parts. This is one of those stories, along with the Christmas story and a few others, that we've heard so many times that it is sometimes difficult for us to hear freshly or to hear perhaps again for the first time. And so I asked my friend Catherine if she would read Jesus' lines, with my prayer being that hearing those words from a woman's voice might actually help us to hear those words again for the first time. It certainly touched me as I listened, and I'm hoping it did you as well. This is these 8 days from today through next Sunday is the central pivot of our Christian faith. We can celebrate Christmas, we can look at the teachings of Jesus, we can look at the other things that he said and did, but without the events of this week, those other events significantly diminish in their importance. Christmas is the birth of another peasant child with special guests. Jesus' teaching is simply the teaching of another itinerant rabbi of the first century. Without the events of this week, Jesus' offering, his death, his burial, and of course, next Sunday's story, the resurrection. I found that one of the things many of us struggle with is we don't tell our story enough. And this is the heart of our story. What happened with Jesus as we marched through real time with him this week? You know, the original events of Holy Week started on a Sunday, ended on a Sunday, eight days. That when we think about Thursday and the Last Supper and the betrayal and all night and the trial, and then it's Friday morning, this is real time in a real place with real people. Sometimes we forget that. I'm also often disturbed by the fickleness of a crowd. You ever been part of a crowd that changed its tune quickly? Perhaps at an athletic event or a pep rally, or maybe you're one of those people who like to go and protest things down in the square. You know, maybe you are. I know some of you do. Good for you, by the way. But you have to remember that the same crowd that's waving palm branches and saying, "Save us," that's what Hosanna means, "save us," and "Blessed is he who is coming in the name of the Lord," that's the same crowd 5 days later that's shouting, "Away with him, crucify him, get this man out of our sight." How quickly the tune can change. We're going to take time this week, and I want to challenge all of you to take time this week to walk slowly through the events, to remember traditionally that Judas sold Jesus for the silver pieces on Wednesday, often called Spy Wednesday, that the Last Supper, the betrayal, the trials in the night all happened Thursday, that at 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday, Jesus is dragged before Pilate and he is hung on the cross between roughly noon and three, and that by sunset he is buried. He is in the tomb. On Thursday, we're going to gather and have communion together and remember some of those events. Friday at both noon and again at 7 o'clock, we're going to do something a little different. I know the last 4 years, 3 years, we've done the Stations of the Cross. I've developed some meditations on the last seven things that Jesus says from the cross, sometimes called the seven last words, but they aren't really words, they're phrases. You heard one of them in its original Aramaic, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," a quote from Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Make space this week to tell the story, to remember the story, to hear the story, to try and hear it, and try to imagine the smells and the sights and the sounds and the energy that's going on and the give and take of the week. But more than that, make space to remember why. In all of its difficulty, this story is the climax of a love story. I know that's hard to imagine given only what we've read today, but that really is the case. That this story is ultimately that expression of God's love for you. The choir sang that marvelous old chestnut. I love that song. "For God so loved the world." God so loved the world. And it's easy for us in the midst of the story of this week to go, "That's right, God so loved the world," and leave it in its broad general category. Don't do that. Remember that when it says God so loved the world, that meant every person in it. It means you. It means me. And that the events of this week are the ultimate expression of that love from God for you and for me. We're going to close with a hymn. The choir is going to respond to the benediction. Then there is no postlude today. We want you to take time and reflect if you will, but you know, we'll depart in silence when we get there. But four verses from Were You There, I think is where we are.